Hey, everybody, welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up.
Wonderful day here in Colorado, absent a riot or two and some ridiculous COVID pandemic restrictions that our wonderful government has imposed. But other than those couple of things, it couldn't be better.
Show brought to you today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website to check. Here's what's going on today. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to have Dem strategist Ted Trimpa on. One thing that's clear, the view of these riots, the view of everything, it's like we live in alternate universes. So we have our, regular...
Ask a Democrat
to try to get
into what's great about Ted is he does it with humor. We try to do it with humor. We don't really see the world the same way most of the time, but that's okay. It's good to understand. I mean, it gets, rather than just hearing a soundboard where you hear your own voice, it's sometimes good to put your ideas up against theirs and see how they all pan out.
And we'll take questions. He loves to answer questions from folks, so stick around for that,
too. He and Barney have a love fest going.
That's right. And if you want to call in, I'm going to give you the number now, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So we'll be talking to Ted. We're keeping an eye. President Obama is speaking now, or going to be speaking soon. We'll keep an eye if he says anything that we all need to know about. We'll be keeping an eye on that for you, and we'll bring it to you. And also another thing I wanted to talk about, thank goodness, it probably won't work, but at least some Colorado Republicans have filed for a joint resolution telling Polis, okay,
cut it out.
It's over. Dictator Polis, give it up. Let's go ahead.
No more safer at home. We all can go out.
Let's get rid of the joint resolution. But the big thing.
Why are thousands on the downtown streets okay for riot purposes?
Right.
But they're no good couple hundred for shopping purposes.
Or church. Can't go to church.
No church. You can riot, of course. You know,
can't
good
go to the gym.
You can loot, of course, but no going to the gym. So it's
did you see
world.
There was a pretty funny Babylon Bee, a satire group, had a posting that the churchgoers were disguising themselves as Antifa rioters.
Down with Trump.
So they had all these down with Trump signs in the church and stuff.
Fully authorized to do whatever they'd like to do.
There's it. But I wanted to start out talking today about something that we've talked a lot about on this show. In fact, we were one of the first, thanks to Michael Tao, to talk about the Russia hoax. And today, former AG Rod Rosenstein testified. Lindsey Graham has been saying it was going to happen forever, and you finally called him in. You know, your take on it. I mean, I'll give my take, but your take on it.
I guess the Republicans asked some tough questions. Ted Cruz said, are you criminal in part of it? Or are you just grossly negligent? And he said, I believe you're grossly negligent.
I believe he's both.
And Hawley, I thought, got him on a couple, and then could share the Democrats. But, you know, when you really get down to it, if you can go to Conservative Treehouse, which is also a great website, along with Colorado for Citizen Press, he notes he has four things why this was a semi-sham. And he points out, he says, why didn't they go through the scope memo and talk about, okay, why were these people targeted? Why was Carter Page? Why was Manfred? What was the purpose of them? And I would have loved to see it. I said before, Hannum Nunes memo is saying you try to get this stopped, saying it was both false and a threat to national security. Tell me which line is a threat to national security. Tell me which portion of it is a threat to national security. So, you know, you don't really, you want him just to get, so he does a Perry Mason moment where he breaks down and says, I did
it,
and they haul him
off.
But I thought they did okay. Not great. They didn't know enough to really go off and asking why James Wolfe wasn't indicted for leaking the FISA warrants and everything else. But, you know, I don't expect much from him. Lindsey Graham.
Well, here's, you know, I can say, if you didn't watch it, I know I watched a great deal of it. The bottom line is, for anything significant, Rosenstein said he didn't know. So they said, did you know that the Steele dossier was a joke? And he said, no. They kind of hammered him because he said, well, I didn't really read the FISA warrant. And then they said, you didn't read it, but you signed it. Well, but you didn't rubber stamp it. He's like, well, I'm not sure, you know, next. I mean, bottom line, whenever it came to anything significant, he basically said, well, I didn't realize it. It was good to have him say, if he had known now, or then rather, what he knows now about how fake the FISA warrant was, then he wouldn't have signed it. But, you know, Cruz said, did you know, for instance, that the FBI got, or your one of your own attorneys changed the documentation, the email? He's like, oh, no, I didn't know that. I mean, so clearly.
Well, that was okay. He probably couldn't know that. Nobody's going to tell him that offhand. But he could have asked him, you know, what is the basis for this? Where is the collusion? Why are we still going years later? I mean, where are you going? Why do you want to go after Flynn Jr.? What is it about Flynn Jr. you think on a FARA violation? I mean, you got to be kidding me.
And
here's the thing. And I just let it go. I let them write the scope memos. I let them do whatever they wanted to do. And I did little or no. And I would have loved to have played the arrest of Roger Stone with all the police.
Right.
Did you authorize this? Did you think that was okay? And of course, he would have given some weaselly answer. I think he comes across as a hateable little weasel. Right. But
I think Cruz did a good job by saying, didn't you find it odd that the FBI was launching an investigation into a 3-star general who'd been around forever, by the way, for the Logan Act? And then it was a funny moment. He said, John Kerry, as we speak, is violating the Logan Act, and no one cares, right? He said, an act that no one's ever been investigated for before.
Well, they have.
He said, not
since
seriously.
The Civil War.
He said, didn't you find it odd that all of this was going on against a president coming in? And he was like, they were just doing their thing. I mean, I think so. Cruz hammered, I mean, if you watched him, Weasley is what came across to me.
Yes.
Weasley was like, hey, and I don't for a second believe he didn't know exactly what was going on.
I do. I don't think he cared. I think he was happy. He was happy saying, look, I'll be attacked if I try to investigate, look into anything. I'll just let them go. Mm-hmm. Whatever they want, they got. Never any question.
I mean, he might
never
as well have recused himself too. Right?
Yes. Good point.
They could have had Tiger, our wonder dog, could have been the attorney general.
Right.
You know,
right.
She could have like barked at something, say, yes, if you want to raid Roger Stone, bark, bark. Okay.
I mean,
all the thought that went into it on his part.
He did nothing. He asked no questions. He never went back. He never asked, hey, who paid for this deal dossier? He never said, hey, who paid for it? And they go, I don't know. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. This is.
Yeah, and then in the meantime, he and Andy McCabe are kind of trying to throw each other under the bus.
Yeah, I've read Andy McCabe's thing. And then I think Lindsey Graham asked him at the end, read it to him. And he gave it. The two of them are fighting about pins on a needle. And they're both absolutely corrupt, absolutely crooked, and absolutely criminal.
And they say this one's lying.
Yeah. And if you think next time, I want to play back, they should have played back some of the clips of Comey and every of these other ones saying it's an incredible vigorous process. It's totally very.
Oh hard. Yeah,
it's very tough to get.
Very tough to get.
Oh, you don't have any idea how tough this is.
Well, it's clear, and I think that's one thing. I think bringing it a little bit further out,
you may not trust anything your government does.
It's
nothing.
Like if the FBI, I mean, they could just make up something about, you know, I see Karen Cataline's listening. Karen Cataline. And boom, they get a FISA warrant on Karen Cataline.
FARA violation. She's an agent for Israel, which is what they accused Papadopoulos of being.
And so,
that was his FARA violation.
And so, yeah. And then.
Or Logan Act. And there's another 1,000 acts in there that is so vague and so bland and so ununderstandable that you can claim that's the basis of your counterintelligence.
And you
operation.
Think that there'd be some kind of prosecutor who would review. That's the whole point. You have a prosecutor sign it, right? Is because there's some, Karen's like, gee, thanks. Oh, it's too bad your name is Karen. You're right. We won't pick on you. But you know, the whole reason.
Miss Catalin.
The whole reason that you have the AGs and prosecutors sign off on that stuff is that theoretically someone has reviewed it, right? The FBI investigates. They think, well, here's what we think is there might be a crime here. The AG, of course, we saw Comey just unilaterally said, no crime here for Hillary Clinton, right? So I don't know. And that's what's scary is that they could and did do that. I mean, there should be some kind of bell should have rung or some kind of, I don't know, floor should have dropped out from it to Rosenstein when he said, well, if I'd known then what I know now, I wouldn't have signed the FISA warrant and Flynn should have never been investigated. So meanwhile, years later, Flynn's life destroyed, tons of money having to be spent on criminal prosecution. Now you've got a whackball judge refusing to drop it, even though the Department of Justice
and that
wants
should
to
be
drop
a good,
it.
Talk about a good hearing. That's going to be on June 12th,
right,
where they're going to bring the Parade of Horribles into the D.C. Circuit to argue this out. And I'm not sure Sullivan will even show up. He'll just have Beth Welkerson, who gets a lot of FaceTime in. It's going to be fascinating.
But back to with Rosenstein, I mean, there should be
some kind of repercussion if
afterwards you say, "Gaw, you know, I wasn't doing my job. I sure as heck didn't realize those nutty FBI guys were changing the evidence and lying on the form, and they were just making it up." It's like, I that could have been.
How about Ray? Did he lie to you? I mean, you know, you had Ray in there for a significant period of time. Why did you and Ray go around to the Speaker of the House and other major officials and say this Nunes document, which has proved to be absolutely correct, was a threat to national
and they
security.
Tried to
what was
him
a
too.
Threat was to national security? I mean,
well, they're security.
Yeah, they're security. So, you know, I don't know.
You know, we've heard so much, and that's why I think it is important to keep talking about it, because you've heard so much about it, and it's hard, you know, it's like, God, they were so corrupt, we can't even believe how corrupt they are. But it is, I think, still worth repeating that you had the FBI and the Department of Justice, Obama holdovers, Obama himself, this goes all the way up to Obama, launch an investigation, and that's not even the right word. They weren't trying to investigate anything. They were simply trying to destroy Trump and the people around him. And they were using the powers of the government, they were abusing the powers of the government to do that. The duly elected president, and as you said, Chuck, if they're going to do that to the duly elected president of the United States, what are they going to do to you, right? What are they going to do?
Well, we found out what
the,
they're going to do to you. If you're George Papadopoulos, they're going to have somebody hand you $10,000, then you put you on a flight, and then search the $10,000 when you get there, throw you in jail, you know, claim that you lied to them because you thought it was early in April when it was really earlier in March. And it's just, they can do whatever they want to. They really can. And that the FBI doesn't have to record conversations is obscene. It's obscene that they get to have these phony 302s, which they doctor. If you read the interesting one filed by the Department of Justice in the Sullivan Flynn case, they point out that none of the notes reflect various questions and answers. So right. Where do the questions and answers come from? They made them up. That's where they came from.
Yeah.
And so the judiciary stinks. No heroes there stopping this witch hunt. No heroes in the State Department. No heroes in the Justice Department. And now you got Esper saying, oh, I didn't know it was a photo op. Well, so what, sure.
anyway, so there's that on that. I see we have
we
Ted.
We see the devil. Devil has joined us. The devil has joined us.
Ted Trippett, Ted, if you want to unmute yourself. Can you unmute yourself? It's down in the left-hand corner. There you go.
There you go.
Hey, the Democrat strategist, Siri's talking to me. Siri, be quiet. Democrat strategist Ted Trippett joining us. This is the, as we always say, ask a Democrat portion
ask
of the
a Democrat
show.
I got to put my horns down, though.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
They're there. We can see them.
We can still see them.
But one of the things I love to say, particularly on 7-9-K, and you asked just to make it a little more interesting rather than saying what he is, which is an important Democratic consultant and everything else. I'd call him Soros Soros because he knows Soros's kids pretty well. He's met Soros and knows him and gets paid by him probably. But it's really more comical, I said, that he's Soros Soros. But I listened to him and Peter today, and they were letting him have it for being the Soros Soros. I am just a joke, guys. It was a joke.
Although, let me launch out on it because I want to get your take on this because I think sometimes we do live in alternate universes, and you are a reasonable guy and a nice guy and a polite guy.
But in a different universe.
But in a different universe. Yeah. So let me kind of jump right in. There has been a lot of talk of, and you can see it on the webpage, Antifa, you know, being involved and being the agitators behind this kind of stuff. And I know if you go to the Conservative Treehouse, they have a picture of George Soros linked with
Darth Soros.
He looks like Darth Vader. In the
so room. How do you get the money from Soros down to Antifa? How's that? How do you arrange that?
Do you know anything? Let me just directly ask you a real question. Is do you
I'm
know
not
anything?
Tell us.
I know. You might. Do you know anything?
He might.
What do you know about that? Are you delivering pallets of bricks? So.
I'm still waiting for my check. I would be really surprised. I mean, I don't know, honest to God. But I would be really surprised if there were Soros money in Antifa. I mean, there are a lot of other more radical funders out there. I mean, his world gets painted out to be more of, you know, the liberal villain than what it really is. It's a lot of money. But, you know, I'm outside that world, so maybe I'm completely wrong.
But he does fund Black Lives Matter, correct?
That is true. That is true. There are a number of donors in my universe that fund Black Lives Matter.
Right. So do the donors in your universe get worried about the riots, or are they okay with it?
Just a lot of fun. Good PR.
Well, and I was talking about this morning, and I think we have to make sure that we distinguish between protesters and rioters.
I agree.
And Black Lives Matter is part of the protesters. And you can question some of the tactics in terms of blocking traffic, whatnot. But the rioters, you know, are the ones that have been following up behind, that have been doing the looting, that have been, you know, breaking in the windows. I'm sure there's a couple of bad actors there somewhere.
Right.
But I think it's important to distinguish between the two.
I agree with that.
Well, tell me, Asa Hutchinson, who is the Republican governor of Arkansas, said that the protesters have legitimate grievances and we need to listen to them. What are the legitimate grievances here in Denver that we need to listen to?
Well, first of all, one, you know, and we've talked about this, you know, back on the Chuck and Julie show at KUNUS, there's an underlying pissed offness that's on the right and on the left. And I think there's more of a powder keg here that's going on than I think some people are willing to accept. And that is a questioning of the institutions, authority institutions, government. You know, they're really starting to question, even though government's supposed to be the people, it really doesn't seem like it's, for a lot of conservatives, are like, listen, they're not talking my language and thinking about me. And you can think about some of the Tea Party things that happened, or even what happened down in Castle Rock. You know, a lot of people's reaction about, you know, aren't we overreacting to the mask and whatnot? And then on the left, you know, I think it's difficult to argue against the fact that there isn't systemic racism. And when I say
let me ask you about that. So
I'm not saying it's intentional.
Okay, let's assume it's just systemic, whatever that means. What is it in Denver's police? Do you think you have systemic racism within the Denver police force? Because you must. I mean, we're protesting about it.
Yeah, but the protester, this is more of a national statement. I think if you were to compare Denver police to other police departments, it's probably less of a problem. I don't know. I've never had an experience with the Denver police department.
You'd enjoy it. I'm also
a white person. So.
Well, it doesn't matter. Hey, let me tell you something. If you are bigger than, taller than, you tower over any police officer, and they don't like that just because you're bigger, well, they're going to do some awful things to you.
Chuck was going to go down to the protest, and I had to say, Chuck,
well, Chuck, if you're big enough and tall enough, then they will. So
yeah, well, I've gotten thrown on police hoods and everything else, kind of going, why'd you do that? Well, you're a big guy. Sorry. Okay, good. Let's go into Denver. So Denver has a fairly brutal police force. It has for 20 years. Our good friend David Lane makes millions of dollars every year off of Denver being a brutal
police force. That's true.
But who controls the Denver police force? I mean, the mayors of Denver have been either black or Hispanic or very liberal Hickenlooper for 50 years. I mean, when do you guys ever – you've had control of this brutal police force for 50 years, and they are brutal. Why don't you ever do anything about it? Why do you run a brutal regime that
not Ted personally?
Well, sure, Ted does. We know Ted's in charge of everything. But it's you guys, you run this brutal machine.
I just got back from my brutality classes.
Yeah.
Well, no, first of all, one, I don't make out the Denver Police Department to be the big evil that you're making it out to be.
They have some officers that are brutal. Go, why don't you watch the, what was the one where they went after the girls?
The diner.
Yes, there's some, and that's why David Lane makes millions. Why don't you do something about it? Why haven't you done anything about it?
Democrats, you mean?
Well, Ted, why hasn't?
Well,
Ted,
I mean that is in part of the reason why some people protest here. Now, you know, whether this comes back to though the systemic racism that exists and some of the systemic problems that you have with police having that kind of power. How do you fix that? I don't know.
You know, we're going to talk about that a little bit later because I think there are very clear things you can do to fix it. But let me ask you this.
There's another part about it. We had a protest back a while back about the systemic racism in the Denver Police Department, and featured in that news conference about the systemic racism of the police department was a mayor who's an African-American, the manager of safety who's African-American, and the police chief who's an African-American in a city in which the African population is a little above 9%. Right. I mean, how do you guys impose this racist philosophy controlling everything?
Mayor's Well, I guess here's the...
Well, let him respond. Hey, wait.
That's a little riled up.
Chuck, you are riled up. I swear.
I got out of the house today. Went in, got going.
Well, you know, it's... The fact that they can't is actually an indication of how deep the problem is. And how do we get at that? I, honest to God, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
how do you fix a situation where...
It's easy.
Yeah, you
make get rid of qualified immunity and you let citizens sue police officers and recover against them.
But
you
don't...
Are you going to have Leslie Herod on so she can talk about how
actually, Leslie Herod, I agree with everything Leslie Herod is proposing. And I just want to know why you didn't do it 50 years ago.
And what was a bizarre thing, Chad, I'm reading this and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really do. I agree with everything that she's saying and proposing. But here's my question then on that is, because I'm going to throw this at you. I suspect that, and as I said earlier, that the police department and the Denver mayor knew how to prevent the riots. They chose not to. Yeah. I think that sometimes the Democrats, the reason it doesn't get solved after all of these
decades, enjoy a good riot.
is that they like to be able to use that to hammer people like Donald Trump. I mean, Donald, if it like gets us. Solved, yeah,
you can beat gets, us up. You know, you can loot our stores.
If only we could be so planned.
Oh, you okay. guys are.
Hey, let's bring in Barney.
Barney's been dying to get in.
Chuck's been too calm. We've been too nice to Ted.
It's been too long, Barney.
Hang on, Chuck. Chuck, Julie, Ted, before, what do you want me to do? Stick up for Ted or tell Ted that he's full of crap? Because I got
stick up for Ted. That'd be a little something different. Stick up for Ted.
Okay. I need some help today, Barney.
Okay, so I'm going to, first off, Ted, don't get all cocky, because if I had Raj's number, I'd tell him to hit you in the face with a brick when you walked in the door, because last time you were kind of full of crap when you were on the show. But we do love you. I just wish you were more like Pat Caddell. Sometimes you're just a little bit of a hack, but I do want to stick up for Ted.
Yeah, not so far. Yeah. What's the stick up part?
Well, no, hang on a minute. I'm talking about, you know, we have to... That wouldn't be domestic violence either, by the way, I don't think, Ted. But so when I can go back and I can say to you, I don't know, a year ago I would have said to you, I don't buy the racism thing. First off, the Denver cop thing, it's a cop thing. It's a cop against us thing. I don't think it's a race thing. But
good point. Look,
that's a good point.
This is really drawn out the racist people. And let me... I'll go back to my emojis. So I did an emoji in a black thumb, and I did it so you could see it. It wasn't racist. It wasn't anything. But by God, I'll tell you what, I've got friends. They're not friends anymore, but you could tell that really irritated them. What are you, black? What are you? I'll tell you, Chuck, there's racism out there. It's buried. And I would say to Ted, I'm guessing, Ted, people probably don't like you because of the, you know, you feel it when you walk in the room, right? You know what I mean, Ted, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
People don't like you because of your, go ahead.
Because he's gay.
No, I get it.
They flat. Yeah. And I'll tell you, Chuck, this has really pulled a lot of these people out of the woodwork. You know, let me give you an example. You go on, I'm not on Facebook anymore, but so there's the old guy that's 101 years old. He's a black guy. He's a World War II veteran. And you share his post, and it's kind of funny. You have people that are friends of yours, and I don't care whether you like my post or not, but you can just, I'm sorry, you can feel it, and it's a sad day. I don't get, you know, look at your caller, Eric. I know we don't hear from anymore. How could you not like that man?
I know.
I don't get it.
He's very nice. No, and we have Casper on.
Yeah, super cool guy. And no. I don't get the race thing. I mean, I don't like Ted sometimes because he's a hack. But
I love the sticking up for Ted part. We're still waiting for the part where you stick up for Ted.
Well, the sticking up for Ted part was Ted's a little bit right on the racism thing. Now, I would like Ted to admit that Joe Biden is an ass clown, and he won't. And Joe Biden has been there for 40 or 50 years, and you Democrats have done nothing for blacks. You take them for granted. And I wish you would at least admit that, but you won't. And that's okay, Ted. We still love you, but the Democrat Party. party's not the answer for the blacks. That's all I'm saying. And neither.
Okay, hey, thanks for sticking up for Ted there. That's a very good. That was, okay, that, no, that was much better than he did.
I have to say, Barney, you're going to be surprised with this. I actually agree with you on this. You know, okay. The Democratic Party has taken blacks for granted. They've taken Hispanics for granted. Have they really given them anything over time? No. You know, you see the same thing with the Democratic Party here in Colorado. You know, if you're lobbying down at the state capitol and you want to pick off some Democrats for something that maybe the Democratic majority or Democratic leadership wants, you go to, bluntly, the non-white members. Because there isn't a built-in system to be welcoming. There's just kind of an assumption, well, if you're black, then you're going to be really liberal, which I can tell you is not the case.
Right.
You know, and so then it kind of perpetuates itself. So anybody who thinks the Democrats are the answer to this problem are sorely mistaken. And I also have to say that I've been somewhat disappointed with how Biden's handled a lot of this. You know, in the speech that he gave at the church, it just wasn't that moving.
And then he did that wacky kneel down thing, like he's Colin Kaepernick or something.
Wow.
All right. Hey, Barney, listen, thank you for calling in.
Thanks for sticking up for Ted. That was excellent.
See you, bye.
Let me ask you, Ted, let's talk about New York City, because Denver, I think, and again, I think they could have gotten a handle on the riots a lot quicker if they wanted to. But New York City, they're still going crazy there. It seems like under the guise of, you know, hey, look, if they think it might make Trump look bad, they're happy to see the city burn. Cuomo and de Blasio are fighting, but they don't care because that still makes Trump look bad. I mean, talk about how you view...
Let me add to that. You know, I was born in New York City and grew up around New York City. The New York City Police Department is larger than the Union Army at the Battle of Bull Run. They've got 35,000 officers. They ought to be able to handle virtually anything. And the fact that they don't means that they're not really trying too hard. But when you got 35,000 police officers,
why not let them do their job? Well,
I think there's some overcompensation for making sure it's better to underreact to something than to overreact to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think there's a level of paranoia, because if you have one of those cases where police do something that, you know, tend to tick people like you, Chuck, off, because, you know, they have this kind of power, and then what do? And I mean in a very respectful way. Then that really, that becomes the story, and it really gets, you know, some could say, blown out of proportion. Now, to Julie's question or comment that, you know, it's kind of intentionally done and used in order to embarrass Trump, I just, if only we could be that planned. I don't see. Now, do we take advantage of situations like that in order to embarrass Trump? Of course. Of course.
Okay.
That's politics.
What would you say? What's your thought about Trump saying, okay, we'll bring in the National Guard, like they did, I think, in Minneapolis, right, to help out there? I mean, I think that, to me, it seems like the mainstream media and some of the Democrats tried to back Trump. I mean, they said, he's going to give a speech. Okay, he gives a speech, says what he has to say. Okay, we'll use the National Guard if we have to. And then they trash him for saying use the National Guard. I mean, I guess... I'm not so sure Trump has handled this as well as I would have liked.
He hasn't. And the thing that, what's, I tell you, as a liberal, what's been most upsetting, and I think there's some conservatives that may feel the same way, is there's a conflation of the National Guard and then the existing military and, the use of the Insurrection Act. And I think you have to be sure to distinguish between the two.
Oh, that's a good point.
And the saying we're going to use the National Guard, that still bothers me, but that doesn't bother me as much as watching that scene of the helicopter doing that scare tactic with the wind. That is ridiculous. The fact you're going to say we're going to use the military against our own people, that is ridiculous. I mean, this is one of the things that the Founding Fathers specifically talked about in terms of having a military that has civilian oversight. The civilian oversight isn't meant to say, gee whiz, we're going to use the military in order to go after our own people.
What do you do?
Let me ask you this. When are you guys going to lift our martial law quarantine over everybody. Can we go back to our, we want to go to our gyms, you know?
We're going to wear Antifa masks to church and stuff like that. And we're going to throw rocks.
Well, when are you guys
going to
let us go?
I mean, we could do that. We could throw rocks to the gym and then go in and exercise.
Yeah,
God forbid we want to protect some lives. You know,
you don't want to protect lives. You can care less about lives. Oh, well, you shove them all in nursing homes and old age homes after you get their ballot and let them die from COVID-19.
You got to say, Ted, the hypocrisy is, it's okay to have, the front page picture of the Denver Post was the police chief without a mask.
Yeah, right.
Walking down the street, talking with his arm around another
person. Where was the social distancing?
Yeah, Joe Biden, you know, social distancing. They didn't have masks on. None of the people behind them had masks on.
You're not saving anybody. Okay. Yeah.
Yet Polis says, you got blood on your hands. Hope no one dies.
Yeah, that CNC cafeteria place, that has to close down permanently because they were one of mothers.
Well, I can get the hypocrisy of that. I guess the argument that I would make is that in a situation like what the protesting is about and the First Amendment, messages they're trying to get across, that trumps it, no pun intended. And so it's different in terms of what they're protesting about, in the protests that are going on and is what happened at the CNC down at Castle Rock. Now, do I think there's some hypocrisy there? Yes. But I think that it's unfair to equate the two.
Well, not if lives are at stake, right? I mean, if grandma's going to die.
Yeah, would you want the black community, all of the African-American community to be besotted with COVID-19, as you guys love to do to the poor communities, and then all of us, we're safe. You keep us safe. You keep us white people safe, but the black people, they're the ones you're trying to kill.
See, that's all part of, our planned strategy around the Democratic Party.
Let me go back to some of the
stuff. Yeah, here, let me check my coat pocket because I think I have my assignment for today.
Back to the funding of some of these groups. So you talked about, you're saying that you do not believe that Soros is involved in funding Antifa, but other groups, does he fund other groups who fund Antifa? I mean,
there are a lot of donors. I'm not going to say Soros because I honestly, God, I don't know what their giving is. But there are a whole class of donors out there, a group of donors that fund the kind of protest activities that you see, and when you see buses show up and there are a lot of people that are there, there are, organizations that have, budgets north of $20, $25 million.
Wow.
And that's all primarily raised individuals and foundations. I mean,
Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper's too cheap.
Yeah. So you're saying people who have $25 million money used to fund
the organizations of $25 million. I mean, these are Center for Community Change. I mean, there's some organizations out there that by purpose fund things like the protests. I mean, those things just don't happen on their own.
Nothing happens.
And you're saying not fund just a protest, but the violent portions of the protest too.
No. Where the money on the violence piece comes from, that would not come from the progressive donor world. I mean, that there's two goody two shoe. Now, would they fund the civil disobedience? Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I guess that makes sense because I do know, having covered.
I know Chuck's not believing me, but.
I can see you're right. There are groups that
it's
want
a fuzzy
to,
area, Are you formatting civil disobedience or are you formatting violence?
Well, because
that's a close line at
times.
And
I would argue that they could do a better job at shutting down that if they wanted to, too. I mean, it's sort of like, I remember covering drug deals. You would have the drug dealers would merge with the homeless people there, kind of by the Samaritan House up there in Denver, because it was hard to tell who was a drug dealer versus who was a homeless person. And I think the violent agitators use the civil disobedience to kind of mingle in, and then they go ahead and I think
that is true. That is true. But if you take a look at let's use Denver as a microcosm of this, and I think that we've had a much easier experience. But in the beginning, you had the protests, it seemed to me they weren't as well organized. And so then it was easier for the looters, and I will use the word thugs,
right,
to take advantage of the situation in order to do the looting and just the, you know, general mayhem. All of a sudden, you started seeing much more organization and structure around what the protests were, the voices of the protests, you know, the Interfaith Black Alliance, even Tay Anderson. We can, you know, have our
criticism. Yay, thank God.
But who first tweeted, burn it down.
Those kinds of voices really did calm a lot of it down, and it made it more difficult for the looters and thugs to take advantage of those kinds of situations because they were more publicly saying, you know, this does not honor the life, you know, of George Floyd.
So luckily now we're doing the official John McCain funeral in three or four cities that your guys are so good with. So we'll have poor Mr. Floyd ceremony in Minnesota, then one have in Philadelphia, then a final internment with John McCain down in Texas, I guess. I mean, you guys are good. You guys are good. I mean,
where's that money coming from?
Yeah, well, if there's a tragedy, got to exploit it to the umpteenth degree.
Don't let an opportunity pass you by.
That's right. What in terms of, here's my question to you. You know, when going back to, like you said, there's the funding for the groups that do organize it. My whole thing has been throughout all of this, we knew this was going to happen. It happens every time. It'll happen the next time too. I still would ask you, are you sure that these groups, because we've shown that they can contain it if they want to. I think they like to have a couple of nights of violence just because, and again, in this case, because it makes Trump look bad. It makes gets everybody riled up.
And who cares about those small businesses?
Right, the small businesses.
I mean, we're trying to shut them down with COVID-19. And if they're still going to be around, maybe we can finally get them off on some nice rioting, and then we can just have government employees for everything. It'll be perfect.
No, I don't think there's any intentionality around that at all. I just think in situations, in a protest situation, things can get out of hand, you know, particularly if it's at night, because I'm sure some of these folks have been drinking, some of these folks are high, you know, they react to things, you know, in a way that they shouldn't. This is where being in blue as, you know, as a police officer, it's like, how do I react to the situation? I have to be very careful. It's better for me to underreact than overreact. This spins the violence out.
What bunker is Polis in? He's just about
Sia's not had a lot to say about this.
They have one down the Capitol beneath the cafeteria.
He's just staying at his mansion in Boulder.
Yeah, well, what's he up to?
First of all, I don't think it's a mansion in Boulder, but
I'm sure he lives in a hovel.
His trailer.
Yeah. But he's not going to his ranch where they have fracking going on. Yeah, that's right.
So I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to Jared about it, but I do think he's made some statements about it.
Yeah.
You know, he's had the press conference about it. I do think that this is something that, given that it's been in Denver, primarily Denver, you know, you don't want to upstage what Hancock has been trying to do.
Or get the blame, or take any responsibility.
And, I mean, I think there's some, you know, some political calculus in it, too.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, speaking of political calculus, how does this play out, do you think, in the election, the presidential election?
That's a good question.
Coming up, you know, I mean, will it be over by then?
Nothing's ever over.
Well, I know, I mean.
Nothing's ever over. And what I found interesting and disturbing about President Trump's Rose Garden speech right before, you know, he gassed normal protesters.
It's a lie! It's a lie!
It was just smoke. It wasn't to your guys.
I know. We'll get to them then. We can argue about that. But what I found interesting and disturbing about the Rose Garden speech is that he's taken a situation around coronavirus, you know, COVID-19, which, you know, his numbers have not been great.
No.
And a lot of people can criticize in terms of how he's handled it. And all of a sudden has turned the situation into law and order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and about law enforcement, we need it. And when you think about the voters that he's trying to talk to.
Right.
It is like. This goes back to what we talked about way back in July of 15. He's not afraid to take some of these third rails, tap on them, ding them a little bit, and then take a sledgehammer out and just beat the living crap out of it. He takes this stuff head on. He makes Richard Nixon, you know,
Oh yeah,
looked like an amateur.
Well, the one I liked, the other one, you know, he went over to St. John's and held up the upside down Bible. Now, all the sophisticates I know, including all the establishment Republicans, said, "Oh no, that's so awful, that's so terrible. Why did he do that?" You know, even you know, some Fox people went, "Oh no, we shouldn't do that." That went over great. We're in your hometown, and your hometown, it just went over perfect.
I'm sure if I asked my family about it, they'd be like, "Oh no, that was an appropriate thing to do."
Yeah, it was
He was holding the Bible, even though it's like, you know, he's holding the Bible as if it were a diaper.
Well, here's one of is it going to hurt him though? I mean, because
no.
I think because my guess would be I don't
it's
think
help
so,
him.
But
it would help him.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's
gonna
help
him.
Okay,
what? You know, I think that the people like me, you know, that are offended by it.
Right.
A lot of people that are protesting that are going to be offended by it are never going to be with him anyway.
Right.
You know, and he needs to solidify who he has, and then he needs to get white suburban America. He needs to make sure he has white working class men.
Right.
Right.
You know,
right.
And up in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, that area where some of it started to slide, things like this really help. But as long as he's not out shooting people, showing force. As upsetting as I may find it politically, it's really smart.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
What about Biden then? What do you do if you're Biden? I mean, he did come out of his hot basement, but.
Is he going to make it to the election, you think?
What do you do about Biden? Is that, first of all, one, turn up the oxygen from the tank.
Yeah, that's right. Get to that.
You know, he's in a difficult spot in a way.
Yeah.
And what will be interesting to watch is this Obama town hall.
That's
coming out, and then when you add in the statement from GW, there are going to be articles written comparing the presence of former President Obama, the presence of President Bush, even though his has just been in a letter, and then how Biden performs in comparing that.
Mm-hmm.
It worries me because in situations like this, Obama's a pro.
Right.
You know, I mean, because that's just his personality and how he operates. This is not Joe Biden can't put his arm around you and
sniff
you, know, with you and do that kind of eye connecting thing. This is where it needs to be more presence to it, and that's just not who Joe Biden is.
Okay,
that is always the worry if you're the candidate, you know, that you'll be overwhelmed either by your vice presidential candidate, you know. That didn't do John McCain any good. Uh-huh. Everybody be cheering for Sarah Palin, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to look good for Joe Biden to have Barack Obama being, you know, witty and wise and very.
Joe going.
Yeah.
Completely agree. And just wait to see what the Washington Post writes about it. Just wait to see what the New York Times writes about it. And then you're going to see all of this damage control that's going to come out of the Biden world, you know, the Democratic establishment, you know, really wants to take back the White House. I see a train wreck coming, unfortunately.
Oh,
because there are voices.
Tell us more about the train wreck.
Well, because of the comparisons, you know, and it's a question of how much of that will break through with some of the Democratic base. How much of that, you know, Biden has extraordinary support within the Black community. But what is that going to look like as this continues to progress?
Yeah.
And if I need to think about this, but if I were in Biden's shoes right now, I would much rather want to be seen as riding the coattails on Obama on this rather than being compared to it.
Yeah.
Because he's being compared to it, he's never going to beat it.
Right.
Just not.
What about
But Obama's never had very good coattails. He's been extraordinarily effective when he's run on his own.
Yeah, he's been extraordinarily effective about keeping his coattails to himself.
Exactly. Or sharing with Bruce Springsteen
Coattails, do you want to see them? I'm glad to show you.
What about vice presidential candidates? I think Amy Klobuchar knocked out of the running.
Oh, she's gone.
But I don't know. What do you see happening there for Biden?
I still think Kamala Harris is in the running.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's going to have a tough time because she, Amy was, you know, a get-tough prosecutor.
Yeah. But I'm she's also sure African-American. The thing I would be worried about is the bet for her. You know, a lot of the old Willie Brown.
Yeah.
Stuff there that could be harmful. You know, there's none of this new clamoring around Elizabeth Warren, which I think just given how Wall Street money, Democratic Wall Street money would respond to that, I'm just not for sure that's really a brilliant choice.
Plus, Elizabeth Warren would take Joe Biden out. I mean, he'd have a tragic accident really, really soon. I would be worried about that.
Yeah, we all
she'd do a throat. She'd get a chokehold on him. They get the knee on him and his neck, and then he'd be gone in 8.5 minutes.
I mean. She'll challenge him to a selfie line.
Yeah. What about, let me bring it back to Colorado, get your take on Hickenlooper. He said he tripped over the, you know, I got to say, I think it's unfair. Some sports announcer said all lives matter instead of just Black Lives Matter. Hickenlooper said all lives matter. He didn't have to quit. But I mean, and then he's got this ethics thing going on. How are you reading
that? He cannot blow it, Kenny, because he's doing about as bad a job as he can. But the system is so rigged. You guys have just rigged the system that he can't lose. So he might as well just keep on going.
I don't know about that.
Well, come on. We're talking among friends. We're talking about, you know. Oh, right.
Talking among friends, broadcasts, you know. But, you know, actually, I have to go do my harvesting classes, though.
There you go.
Because we have some new techniques on ballot. So.
You can only collect 1,000.
I think unless there's a major faux pas, which could happen, you know, like a socialism question, if something like that doesn't happen, it's really hard to screw it up because Democrats just so
rig the system.
Yeah. Well, not rig the system. So want Cory to go away and so want Trump to go away. And so it's like whoever the Democratic nominee is who they're going to vote for. He could be Santa Claus.
Right.
Do you think Andrew Romanoff has even a chance?
No.
I kind of like Andrew Romanoff.
As much as I like Andrew a lot, it's that ship has sunk.
Let me ask you a final question, then we'll let you go. In terms of, are you keeping track of anything on at the legislature? I mean, they're trying to get rid of the Gallagher Amendment. They're trying to
hike all the taxes. You know, something's bad news when the Denver Post says bipartisan support for getting rid of the Gallagher Amendment and hiking your property tax. Yes, sirree. This isn't a Democrat deal. No.
What I would watch is as we get closer and closer as to what they say is going to be the end, which I think is what the 12th, which
who knows?
I think there's a, you know, more than a 50-50 shot is going to go beyond that.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But we really need to be watching for creative ways to raise money.
Yeah.
Creative ways.
Taking it out of our pocket. That's
creative ways.
You know, because looking at the whole, I mean, I think you're going to see a renewed interest in increasing the tobacco tax. Of course, go after the vape people. And I have to disclose I represent some vape people because they're easy targets.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and if you take that to the ballot in this kind of environment, tobacco's beat tobacco taxes before. But if you can cut an agreement, get everybody kind of on the same page and you get a couple $100 million a year for the first 3 years. One of the health groups going to say to that, well, no, don't fill the hole. Give it to our specialized programs. You know, they can just wait 3 years in order to get the money. I think you're going to see those kinds of things try to happen. The challenge that they're going to have on any of these tax measures is they're constitutional.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's 2/3. You got to get 24 votes in the Senate. Good luck. Now, is it possible? Maybe.
Oh, Well, Adams County, get that Republican there. Yeah.
So that would be the things that I would be. That I would be watching for is the surprise taxes.
Good point.
All right. Well, Ted, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I love coming on. You know that.
We love having you on.
You're the best.
We'll promote you on Peter's show this morning, too. You guys are great. And I'm going to say, Ted, you know what? He is. You're just such a great person. And I mean this sincerely. You know, every so often you get attacked for being friends
with you. Oh, yeah. Listen, I get attacked for being friends with you.
Exactly.
I get attacked for being friends with you. With I even get attacked by some Republicans for being friends with you, Chuck. But you know, for those people who follow Twitter, you know, at Ted Trimble, you can go back and kind of see it. Because of just my association with Peter and taking things that Peter had said on the show way out of context, all of a sudden I was this big racist. I can't believe that you would be doing this.
Yeah.
And I have to say that there, you included, were a number of conservatives that came out, you know, no, Ted actually really is a nice guy. Some of my best friends are Jewish.
He's not racist.
Yeah, Brownstein's a wonderful law firm.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, the thing about it is we always defend our friends.
Yeah, well, you do, you know, you honestly, you do know, your friends, you got lots of friends and times are great. You'd be amazed how fast they fall away when
time's
not so good. And you're one of those I count on being a good friend through thick and thin, which means a lot to us, I can tell you that.
Well, back at you.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Ted. Sort of Soros and wonderful human being. Bye. Hey, we can open it up too for a cause if you want to call in. 888-627-6008 if folks are on Zoom, if they want to.
Well, let's get a comment from Karen. Karen's always good for a comment.
Hey, Karen. Bye, Ted.
Yeah, I was enjoying just listening, and there goes Ted. Ted is fascinating to me. He's fascinating.
Yes,
because I sometimes think maybe he's suffering from the Stockholm syndrome. I'm not sure. but
are we the captors or the Stockholm
syndrome? No, the Democrat Party. They're holding him hostage.
I was wanting to make comments and stuff, and I just thought, well, first of all, both of you did marvelous job because you have that rapport with him. But I just, it's so frustrating to hear him minimize and never even mention that cops are getting shot in the head.
Right.
Cops are being murdered, and yet they equate words with murder. There seems to be such a broken moral compass about what is just basic right and wrong. They can't think consistently, intellectually consistent. So that's why I find Ted so interesting, and I don't know.
Well, and I'm going to, love Ted, but I'll disagree with him. I am more suspicious of the Democrat Party's and Democrat politicians' motives. You know, like I said, so in Denver, the past couple of nights of the protests have been peaceful. They know how to make them peaceful. They did make them peaceful. They know how to do it in New York. They could do it if they wanted to. And so you got to ask yourself, why don't they want to, right? And I just think the only reason is because they think that somehow or another, it helps them to have this. And then it goes and it boils over and then they crack down.
Coincidences in politics.
Yes, right.
And I will tell you that the minute we saw the riots and the complete 180, that they're trying to support one narrative, which is preposterous, in order to then suddenly, I've written about this, then suddenly say that rioting is okay.
Right.
I think that has finally helped people like you and I make our case to people who are on the fence.
Right.
Now, when you look at anybody who's walking around in a mask at Walmart, ought to take it the heck off now.
Right. Oh, it has, if nothing else, you're absolutely right, Karen. And they don't even pretend, and Ted didn't actually really even try very hard to defend that either. It has, if nothing else, exposed the total joke that the lockdowns and the fraud that the lockdowns have been. I agree with you. It's like, I don't want to hear you tell me, you little progressive Karen, sorry, Karen. You're killing grandma when it's like, no, I'm not. You know, and neither are you, and we all know it. You just know none of those people are worried about getting coronavirus and giving it to their grandma.
They're willing. They don't even apologize for their breathtaking hypocrisy. Our friend Brian Jundeff had a wonderful piece.
I know, we need to get him on too. Yeah.
Saying, you know, I'm trying to have guests different than you because we tend to think alike.
I know.
You're right. Oh, we just had that. No, we had him first.
No, don't do that. Well, I don't know who I'm having this Friday because so much is going on, but,
we have a black woman who wrote, you know, African Americans have nothing to lose, and
Kathy Barnett. I've interviewed her twice.
Oh, of course! Oh, of course! Yes, of course!
But you only have about a minute left, so you're good. You're good.
A minute left. Tell folks where can they read you and listen to you.
Yes, you can go to KarenCataline.com. I do a lot of syndicated radio as well as my show, which will be on just 3 hours from yours on Friday.
Fantastic.
So call in talk radio at noon on BBS radio, and then it gets repeated again over the weekend. And I haven't decided who I'm having on. I do want to say that I have it on good authority, and I can't say more than this, that a lot of very ugly things are being planned by Antifa and other people trying to start hate and discontent, and it's going to start on Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. And cool. So what happens cool. is the so-called peaceful protesters protest during the day and the afternoon, and then
the other ones come out.
People get bussed in at night, yep, and they're yep. threatening to go into suburbs. One of the jokes I saw is the suburbs are going to be an awful lot different, especially for conservative areas. But if they really want trouble, go into the rural areas because they have backhoes.
Trailer parks. Go to the trailer park.
We got to let you go because we got to sure. go. We got to go. Thanks, thank Karen. You so much. Thank sure. you for calling in. Real quick, Chuck, before we go, let's talk
all
folks
right.
about cytogenics.
You know, there's nothing more valuable to anybody than having energy. As you grow older, you go, where did all my energy go? Well, you know, you're not going to be able to get more energy by yourself. You're going to have to look at your whole system, figure out how to invigorate everything with hormones, with vitamins, with better diet and better exercise. If you want to live your life and be happy with your life, then go to somebody who can help you. And that's Synergetics and Julie McCallum. And it's 720-387-3681. Do yourself a favor. This will make your life so much happier. I can tell you, and Peter
Chuck
Joy.
And Peter, have
oh,
it
man.
Personally.
Have it personally. So that's Synergenics, Cenegenics.
All right. I want to thank Ted Trimp. I want to thank ColoradoCitizenPress.com. We have a great show coming up on Friday. I'd love to have you check us out at ChuckandJulie.com. And if you haven't already, we really appreciate everybody who subscribed to us on YouTube. And go ahead and like us on our Facebook page, too. That'll do it for us today.
That's it. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on
Party Friday.
There you go.